I have a perikoy anotel perik yudalad.
Yes.
Okay. The perikoy anotel tnan im yesh das chus toilo bechulu. So it says in the Gemara that if a seita has a schus, then she's that helps for her that she doesn't get killed from the mayim amarim. Pirush im yesh schus l'seita. The Gemara is schus to mayim. So Gemara says, what kind of schus could she possibly have? Ilem a schus ha'toyra, ha'ina mitzvaisa. She's not mitzvaisa. Vi is schus to mitzvah. A mitzvah doesn't have the ability to protect so much. But Tanya Zudorash Menachem Rabbi Yosi Kiner mitzvah Torah Or Tola Sakosuv Vesa mitzvah Bener Vesa Torah Beor Leimelacha Maner in a Megal Fisher Af mitzvah Kain Uma Or Megal Loyla After Megal Loyla. So Gemara says there's a difference between Ner and between mitzvah and Torah. Mitzvah is Megan for a certain time. Torah is Megan really for after you stop doing it as well. The Oma Misalecha Tanchoy Sopoilam Hazab Shachma Tishma Nachuzu Misa Bektois is Chelom Haba. The Gemara says over there, Moshel Malach Bederech Bishim Laila Vafela. Moshel, somebody was walking at night. O Misyorim and Akoitim Arkonim. He's scared of, he's afraid of thorns and all sorts of bushes that will trip him up. And umina pachsim, those are ruts in the ground. Umina listim, and from robbers mechayra. And he also doesn't know where he's going. Nizdamro lavuka shel oir. Somebody gives him a torch. Nitzol mina koitzim arkanim chasim. So he's no longer worried about the thorns or the ruts in the ground. Vadayinu miser mechayra melistim. But he's still worried about the animals and the robbers and so on. As soon as the morning comes, he's saved from Chayes Ros Listim. But he still is not sure which road is he going on. As soon as he reaches a fork in the road, he now knows which way to go also. Rav Acher Gemara says another pshat, avera mechaba mitzvah, ben avera mechaba Torah, that an avera can extinguish a mitzvah. In other words, it takes away the schus of the mitzvah, but not Torah. Shenema yom rab lo yuchel lichpois says, mayim rab lichlis basava. Then the Gemara says another, in other words, the Gemara is listing a lot of distinctions here between mitzvahs and Torah. Om Rabbi Yosef, mitzvah be'idin da'asibwa magna matzlo, be'idin lo'asibwa Aguni magna tzulor matzla. Torah bein bina dasik ba bina loyasik ba magna matzla. Omni Rav doeg vachitofel milahave aski b'teira. So Rav asks, I don't say something. Doeg adomi and achitofel, they were both, they both learned. Amaylo yigin alayhu. Why did Torah not protect them? Elama Rav, Torah beidna dasik ba magna matzla. While the person is studying, it actually protects him and saves him. Beidna the loyal sikba, and when he's not studying Torah, aguna magna, it protects him, vatzulei matzel. So it'll prevent the danger from coming, but it's not going to save him from a danger that's there. Mitzvah beidna the loyal sikba, aguna magna, vatzulei matzel. Then the Gemara says, finally, the Gemara deals. So the Gemara has set the differences between the mitzvahs and Torah. Now the Gemara asks about the last piece of the equation. So the Gemara says, "Higil a precious drachm. My precious drachm. What's a precious drachm? If chista mazet talmid chacham v'yom misa, a talmid chacham on yom misa. Reb Nachman is a talmid chacham v'yoras chait." So there's a progression here. We have we have mitzvahs, we have Talmud Torah, and then we have Talmud Torah plus some other quality. The Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rasutram is a Talmud Chacham, Masik Shmaitzi Bidalchasa. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Dorosha Benachem Rabbi Yosef Laikra, Kisinai. That Reb Nachman Rabbi Yosi learned this pasuk, Kisinai means He learned it very well. It's as if he'd heard it from Sinai personally. How? It says, "Leimar alekim ozvu rotvut of suke ein matzel." My darish, v'leirabucha ervastova v'shamechrecha. So they didn't know that an Avera, they were saying on David that because he did an Avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer with him. Had they known that a mitzvah that Torah doesn't get extinguished by an Avera, they would not have pursued him. They would have been scared of it. That's the whole. So it's a big Maimon Chazal, which focuses mostly of it on the advantage on the Maila of a Talmud Chacham and learning Torah and so on. So now he's going to explain more specifically about all the different pieces over here, like he usually does. Ubir in Yenzeh, ki ha mitzvah tikori ner, vipnei sha ner oshlo nitla beguf Hashem apsilo. Nekach einar goma. Says the first distinction between a ner and or, both of them are light. In essence, what they're light, they're lighting up. But the ner, the light is very closely, it adheres very closely to the candle. It's dovuk to the candle, and it's part and parcel of the candle, and that's what it is. So the light itself is never ever removed, and it always has to remain around the candle. Masha'ein kein aval Torah. So every mitzvah, because of the nature of a mitzvah, is that it is part and parcel of an object. There's a, every mitzvah is an object that has in it some kedusha, some whatever it is, and it's also sort of limited in time and so on. So it's always attached to some item, to some element, and therefore it is it's something which is less only around the thing itself. V'chein mitzvah nitla b'mayis adam sh'asay de'gufay, a mitzvah has something to do with the guf of the person. He took a lulav, he blew a shayfa. Veina mitzvah dov nivul gamishal zeh. So the mitzvah can't ever become a totally transcendent activity. Ava Torah she'ena nitla beguf, v'usechel nitla b'lvad. Torah is pure sichlius. Lekach tekora Torah or, ke or hu nivul gamri, in nitla b'geshem. Or is something which is completely beyond. So just like when we see a day, when the day gets lit up, so we don't, we know that there's energy in the sun and that burns and that, but we don't see that in the sun burning. We just see light. The day is full of light. So Torah is also like that. It's a totally spiritual entity. It's not attached to anything specific. We learn, we study. So anything which is a physical entity, and that's its metzias, that is bound in time, because one of the physical dimensions is time. So just like anything that depends on three physical dimensions depends on the fourth dimension of time. So if I make a physical triangle, I take a piece of wood and I cut it to shape a triangle, I now have three angles that add up to 180 degrees. That triangle will disintegrate in time. It has to, because it's a physical object, because it consists of wood, shape, and so on and so forth. But the concept, the law that the three angles of a triangle add up to 180 degrees, that will never disintegrate, because it's not a physical entity, it's an idea. And it's not time bound. Torah Torah's Mircha Torah she'ein or gashmi she'ein b'dava mamish. It has no physical. It's not dependent on anything physical. V'kach ha'Torah is seichel nivdal. Olefikach ha'Torah megina lo'olam she'adava nivdal gashmi nisa b'zman. So things that are not totally in physical objects are also not totally in zman. They go hand in hand. V'ama b'salecho tancho ischa pirish ki yesh dava ba la'odam ba'olam in apuranis meitzoch ha'zatzol ha'gemura rak lehaza isesh shelo yeilach l'sham. So it says b'salecho tancho ischach. So he says, these are things that they don't come of there are threats and issues that they don't come and attack you. It has specifically designated spot where it affects you. So for instance, a hole in the ground, a thorn bush, whatever it is, they're specific to a certain place, and you know, and that, and they're limited. The damage that they can inflict on you is limited to a specific place. And that's what the mitzvah protects him from. So we have dangers that are specific spots. They're very, very specified, and for that a mitzvah can work. They're things that attack a person. Like listem chayra, they pursue the person. That's something that the mitzvah can't protect, because the mitzvah in itself is also limited bound. So just like if I have in a specific area some sort of protection, but if the animal could come from inside and attack, it's not going to help much. So something that's not bound by time or place, a danger that is sort of free to roam, a free roaming danger, needs to have a correspondingly sweeping positive environment. Ki amud ha'shachar or gom, v'atoyr shor gom nikra amud ha'shachar. U'ma'ashama ve'ena yodea be'ezeh derech mahalech pirush she'ena oymer al madrega acharoina she'enoy Hashem yisbar avol noyte mimenu.
So he adds over here an explanation of the last piece when it says over here. So he says in Torah itself. There's a pchina where a person is learning and he's aware of facing Kadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, his learning is straight. It's a madrega in Talmud Torah, just like Talmud Torah Lishma is something which is it means that his purpose, his direction in learning is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Here also, in Torah itself, we're never sure if it's totally Lishma or not, totally focused or not. But I'll explain that later when he gets to it. So his first point is that there are two types of ra. There's a type of ra which is very, very focused, very specific, and the aura protects, the ner protects from that. And then there's a general pervasive ra which needs that. I want to add a point of hesper. I think just it falls into what he's saying over here, but I think it fits well with it. Let's be more specific about the different types of Yetzer Hara. A person has a specific craving for a certain food, for a certain woman, or whatever it is. So that's a very, very focused point, and the Yetzer Hara is very specific, And it's the struggle is on a very specific point. There's a second type of madrega, and that is a person who has a bad hashkafa. In other words, his sense of right and wrong is bad, perverted, whatever. So that person, it's not struggling with a specific issue, it's his general understanding of things in sort of in a general way, what, you know, his take on things. There's a Rambam at the end of Mikvois. The Rambam says that he speaks about what the inyan of a mikveh is. So he says, you know, he prefaces and says, you know, it's a chayk, and we don't have any clear understanding. But the Rambam says, I would like to give you a type of general sense of the mitzvah, which is not only perfectly okay, but a person is supposed to be able to get as much out of a chayk as he can. So he says, you see that the mikveh is not a specific remedy for what's wrong. He says it's not as if tumah was some sort of mark that you could get off with water. It's something that's not there. And yet, when you immerse yourself in the water, you've removed yourself from the tumah. So he says these represent the bad machshavas. The bad tumah represents the bad understandings, mindsets in the world. And the cure for it is when a person immerses himself in the mehadas, in knowledge of the good kind, of real knowledge, of real understanding of right and wrong. So the person immerses himself, and that's how they get it. So the Rambam is giving the same type of picture. There are certain issues that deal with specific points. There are certain issues, just one, there are certain issues that are more general. And that is something which, that's not, I thought it had to do with my mother. There are certain issues that are very, very general. In other words, a cholistic understanding, and that really has a lot to do with a person's mindset and perception. And the same thing is true about learning also. And I think it's an important point. In Litvish yeshivas, they focused very, very much on learning, and learning is the most important thing, and just learn everything, okay, and so on and so forth. And to non-Litvish, that seemed like a little bit of a cop-out. Here you have a guy who's hanging out and I don't know where, late at night, and you tell them just sit and learn, sit and learn, sit and learn. I mean, what's one got to do with the other? You know, so let's say he'll learn Baba Basra really well. How's that going to save him from a girl? Or whatever it is that he's fooling around with. And certainly, on a short-term basis, this is not a panacea of any kind. It's not helping him. But if you're looking at a longer-term a more long-term change in a person. So when a person learns Torah, the person is seeing a broader picture. His mind is beginning to look at things in a different way. It's just like people, for instance, grow up from, and they may rebel against it, but a lot of times, at some point, they'll come back to it. Because that's how they saw things, that's how they understood things, that's how they looked at things. A certain mindset, a certain perspective, a certain understanding. And therefore, those things are things that change a person in a more comprehensive way, in more subtle. So just like when you have a specific spot that you need to be careful of, you want to shine a spotlight on it. But then when you're talking about more general issues, you're talking about you need a more general ruchnistic approach, and that's where you have the two. Now he says v'yoraid, and he says a little bit more of a hesber. Kehefset sheigila adam yish b'mikra v'yeshen b'mikra. There are two types of issues that happen. One that is Mikra, and one is not Mikra. Now, he's not talking about here, the Maral uses the word Mikra, meaning, you know, it happened just by coincidence. It didn't happen by, you know, for any special reason. It's a Maral, when he speaks about Mikra and not Mikra, he's not speaking about was Hashem behind it or not. That's not quite the point that he makes. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about more the understanding of what's the structure, what's the framework in which it's coming to me. When Kadosh Baruch Hu brings a problem to me, it can come through many avenues, and you know, it's not specific avenues. B'ra'oid k'hefset shagir la'adam yesh b'mikra v'yeshena b'mikra. There are those that are mikra, not mikra. I'll give an example. Hezek shu b'mikra, a coincidence, means So what happened was, I was passing over a bridge happened to collapse. So I don't see it as particularly, in other words, it's sort of me and the bridge coincided at a not good moment. So he says, Shilulah alach Hashem le'nasezeh. So the mitzvah helps, it doesn't get there. So let's take a look at the mushel of the thorns and the ruts in the ground and the pits and so on. It requires, it's not focused on him. It just he and the thorn bush happened to meet together, to coincide together at a specific point. Worse is something that's ena b'mikra. What's that? Let's say a person's body is such that he's prone for disease. So a person happened to get a disease because his body has some deficiency, some weakness, whatever it is. So now we're talking about something that has a lot more worse effect on him, because, you know, the guy who happened to walk into a thorn bush is going to get all bitten up and scratched and that, but that's it. If there's something inherently not run down in a person, he'll keep getting sick, and the sickness won't leave so easily. So just like the animal and the robbers, they'll pursue the person. It's not a coincidence that we happen to meet up at the same place. It's the animal has smelled the person and is running out to get him. Lekach ena mitzvah megina, rak haTorah megina al zeh. V'zeh she'ama olam hashach nitzav yisum chayro. So this is where we have the lashon of olam hashach nitzav yisum chayro. So let's talk about this a little bit. So he says there are two types of bad things that happen to a person. And let's, I guess, translate a little bit into the terms that are relevant here, more about a person in the world. There are items that are due to the interaction of the person with the world. So every interaction carries with itself its risks, challenges, benefits, etc. So there will be an issue or whatever it is, but it's there because in this particular point the person happened to intersect with the world. So that doesn't point out to a general deficiency in a person. It just points out that in this intersection between me and this part of the world, there's some issue. So a mitzvah can work on that. And that's why every mitzvah relates to a specific organ, to specific activity, because the nature of the world of mitzvahs are particular interactions between a person and the world. And if you want to bring another parallel to it, It says in Chazal that when the Malachim came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they should give him the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu said, do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? You know, you don't have any of the physical realities that the Torah speaks about. So it's as if what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is Torah requires a person or an entity, a malach could also be that way, and it requires an interaction with the world. Mitzvahs are at the crossing point between me, I come to build a house, I have a chiv of a mica. I have a chiv of mezuzah. I wear a garment, I have a chiv of tzitzis, and so on. So the world of mitzvahs deals with the intersection of the person and the bria. That's always by definition a coincidence. Two things happen to occur same place, same time. But when you're talking about the person himself, kishala atzmai, there is then we're talking about rebuilding the person. Only Torah deals with that. This is a very helpful explanation for the following. It says, Chazal give us actually a paradigm of two such mahalchim. We have Reb Shimon ben Yochai and Reb Shmuel, the famous Gemara, where Reb Shimon ben Yochai lived in a cave, and he said that there's no way you could learn Torah and Torah Mateleh. And Reb Shmuel said, so these are actually two separate descriptions of the picture of the world of Ruchnius. Reb Shmuel dealt with people that will coexist. They're going to interact with the world around them, and that's why he said hanheg bahem min yacharetz. He says weave into the world of mitzvahs derech eretz, because if the world that we're talking about is the world of mitzvahs, so derech eretz and mitzvahs actually match up. The physical activities all deal with the realities of the world around, and therefore preparing food, building a house, all of these things are realities that you deal with. Shimichai was the Ish of Torah, and in his world there was no interaction. One had no shaykhus with the other, and it was a very different. Now you find in the Gemara that somebody who's Teirosei Umnosei is potter from many mitzvahs. He Ben Azai, because Nafshechas Retar didn't have to get married. Reb Shimon Yochai, it says, would put his hand on his eyes, or Ben Akash, and that was Krishma. They'd be potter from Tefillah. The point is, they are dealing with two very different sections of Ruchnius. One is dealing at the interface between Ruchnius and Gashmius, and in the interface between the physical world and the Ruchnistic world, that interface is called mitzvah. It's something which is an attachment of the two. It's where the two. The word tzeves means a bond, a binding. It's like a crew in Hebrew is called a tzeves. So mitzvahs deal with that. And Torah deals with a reality that's above it, beyond it. It's self-contained. It doesn't need to have that recourse and so on. So the world of Torah and mitzvahs are two separate layers. One is now. Just as I guess, let's give it just a general sense of something. You find a lot of sefarim like the Balatanya's Mamorim and so on that deal with Torah and mitzvahs and the relationship between them, conflicting threads of thought about the relative merits and superiorities of each one.
Now, first statement. Let's say each one is missing something without the other. In other words, Torah itself without mitzvahs could not interact with this world, which meant that it couldn't survive. Mitzvahs without Torah is also couldn't survive because it's cut off from its roots lamala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tachlis was to bring kedusha into this world, and that's the world of mitzvahs. But the only way you can actually do it, the only way you can thread the thread, is in the world on top. So really, each one of them has in himself a Maila Chisaron. Torah is higher up, but it can't accomplish what mitzvahs accomplish. It cannot bring it out to this world. If I give a mashal for it, it's like a physicist versus a handyman, an appliance handyman. A physicist has a much higher, noble understanding, and it's a much more refined, much more encompassing understanding of how these things work. But he couldn't fix your washer dryer if you wanted to, and you would be left with a lot of interesting conversation with the physicist, but no washing machine and dryer. Wouldn't you have to use the one with the quarters and the laundromat? It wouldn't work. On the other hand, the person who can fix the washing machine, the dryer, and the stove and so on and so forth has no deeper avon of that. He couldn't invent a new machine. He couldn't build something else based on the principles. So you're talking about two halves of something. Each one has a ma'ilah and a chisaron. So in the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rutzen in creating a world that is so physical and material is that Kedusha spreads to that. And that's where the world of mitzvahs comes in all its glory. But that world has a problem, that it doesn't, that world's problem is that it in and itself, it's not drawing for anything higher. It's very limited. Each and every mitzvah is very limited in what can affect and so on. And therefore, it affects only something very specific. And you need to draw from a much broader source, which is a Torah in its more pure form, and map it out. I think that's the pshat in the Machlokes. It says, Reb Shimon Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel argued. The Gemara says many people tried to do like Rabbi Shmuel, like Rabbi Shimon Yochai, and it didn't work. Many people tried to do like Rabbi Shmuel, and it worked. So there's an emphasis here on the many. On the one hand, it says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Yochai said, if me and my son and my father were there, we could carry the entire world on our back until the end of days. And in other words, Reb Shimon Yochai is somebody whose chusim is bigger than the world. He's above the world, he's beyond the world, but he's yechidim. You know, as you have a hierarchy, the top of the mountain is more narrow. The higher you go, the more narrow it is. The base, it broadens and broadens and encompasses more as it gets lower and lower. The same way that a law of physics is supposed to encompass many, many different applications, whereas each application is very specific. So the two must go hand in hand. Without the world of Torah, you don't have what feeds the world of mitzvahs and what feeds the person. You know, there's just so much do this that a person can take. It doesn't particularly help the person. On the other hand, a world of Torah without mitzvahs is not accomplishing what it's set out to accomplish. In a societal level, we can have it split. So Reb Shimon Yochai sits in the cave and he's Isaac and Torah Lishma, and he preaches, and he's the ma'atim. He's the few that can be pure Torah. Because there are many underneath the Harbi Asu,
that they weave mitzvahs into the world. Each person individually has some of it. We have some years of learning and many years of sort of bringing out to the world of mitzvahs. And society as a whole, we have the people that are pure Torah and kulei Torah, and then we have the flow out to the world. But that's the relationship between the two. I think we'll hold it here. Next one's the new piece is Mechaba Mitzvahs and so on. So we'll leave it for next year, Mitzvah Hashem. Okay, a good gebench yar. L'shana tayva, t'gasevas haseimel, atchaim tayvim shalom, and batzloch in the new house. Okay, and take care, bye. A good year, bye.